We turn once again to the Song of Solomon, chapter 1, looking this evening at the first four verses. And as we come to God's word, we remain seated and look to Him for help. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, as we have the pages of Holy Scripture open before our faces, we ask that Thou wouldst give to us the fullness of the Holy Spirit, that we who are the church in the world would find ourselves being convicted of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. Receive our praises. Forgive our sins. And grant fruit in our lives. For we ask it through Jesus Christ. Amen. Anybody who comes to study this book that is called the Song of Solomon is immediately faced with at least two tremendous challenges. The first concerns the number of people who are in this book. Some say there are two, others say there are three. The people who say there are two main characters in this drama say that there is this woman who is sometimes called the Shulamite, and that the other person is the beloved, presumably King Solomon. Those who say there are three persons in this drama say that there is the Shulamite, there is Solomon who is pursuing the Shulamite woman, and that the third personality is the fiancé to whom the Shulamite is betrothed. Are there two or are there three characters in these poems? Now I myself do not think that this question is all that important. The two-person narrative is easier to follow, although the three-person narrative is more dramatic and exciting. But either way, it does not change the main thrust of this book. That's the first challenge. The second challenge has to do with the interpretation of this book. Almost all the Jewish scholars and almost all the Christian scholars for 1,800 years have understood this book as a revelation of God's love for His church and the church's yearning for her Christ. I say almost all because it is not all. It is not uniform. But over the last 150 to 180 years especially, as Bible scholars have been able to gain insight concerning Eastern and especially Near Eastern literature, more and more are coming to the view that this is not simply a description of Christ's love for his church or his people's love for Christ. But this is just Eastern poetry of a woman's love for a man and of a man's excitement concerning his wife or wife-to-be. For myself, I do not think that the question or the challenge has to be answered with an either-or. It is, to my mind, possible to see it as both end. That is, that this is human poetry of human love. But what is human love, unless it finds its fulfillment in the perfection that is divine love? In other words, this, in my opinion, is to be read at two levels, both the human and the divine. With those words of introduction, we come to verse 1 of chapter 1, which begins the Song of Songs, which is Solomon's. It is called the Song of Songs. That is, it is the best possible, it is the most sublime, and it is the most perfect of human songs. This is the best of songs. But it may also mean that the book that is now called the Song of Solomon is one long poem consisting of many short poems. One big song that contains many short songs. It is the Song of Songs, and it is called that which is Solomon's. That is to say, it is quite probably written by Solomon himself. Or just as possible it is that these songs were composed by different poets and then put together by Solomon. It is either of Solomon or it is dedicated to Solomon. The Hebrew can be translated either way. For myself, I believe that it was written by Solomon, certainly arranged by him. And the drama opens in verse 2 with the voice of the woman who says of the man, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for your love is better than wine." It is the woman who speaks, and she speaks of her beloved. And she yearns for the kisses of his mouth, for she says of him, "Your love is better than wine." The wine, the word here that is translated wine, does not primarily refer to the intoxicating nature of the drink. Rather, it refers to the sweetness of the delicateness and the delightfulness of wine. In other words, in verse 2, there is within this lady a yearning for a living and a new relationship with her beloved. And I use the word relationship rather than love, because in verse 2 when it says, "For your love is better than wine," the word that is there translated love is not the usual word that the Old Testament uses for love. This is deep. This is intimate. This is profound love. This is the union of two persons into one. There is then this yearning for relationship. And this relationship, she says, is better than wine. It is more pleasant. It is tastier. It is more delightful. It is so deeply satisfying that I think, she says, this is superior to one. And I wonder if you and I can relate to the feelings of this lady. That deep human hunger that is within all of us for human relationships. Some people find or seek to find the fulfillment of that yearning in marriage. For others, it is to find that fulfillment of that yearning for relationship, not primarily in marriage, but in children and in family. Or if we do not find it there, then we seek to find it in our friendships and in our social interactions. But however we choose to find it, however providence would lead us, there is deep within every human heart a longing for relationship, a longing for love, and a longing to belong. And so this lady tells us that she was yearning for a relationship with her beloved, so that there would be the pledge of love. There will be the union of two spirits into one. That there would be friendship in a hostile world. That there will be the loss of hostility. And there will be the unity and the peace and the joy that comes with it. And if you are here this evening, and there is within your heart the longing to find a spouse, to find marriage, and to find in that marriage your joy and your satisfaction, that yearning is not wrong. That desire is not impure. That desire and that yearning is put into our hearts because you and I are made by the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, within the divinity and within the Trinity and the Holy Trinity, there is the relational between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We are made in the image of God, and you and I are built for relationships, and therefore there is deep within us the hunger and the yearning for relationships. That's in verse 2. But in verse 3 we are told, and it is still the lady who is speaking, she says of her beloved, because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. Therefore the virgins love you. This woman loves her beloved, but he is also the cause of the attention of all the other ladies in Jerusalem. All the young women of Jerusalem, these daughters of Jerusalem, are fond of him also. And so in verse 2 there is the yearning for relationship. And in verse 3 there is the yearning for identity. Why is there within us this hunger and this drive and this passion for relationship? Why do we prize our relationships? Why are relationships so important and so precious to us? Verse 3 gives the answer when it says, your name is ointment poured forth. She speaks of her beloved and she says, your name, your reputation, your character, and everything about you is fragrant to me. It is beautiful, and it gives me deep associations, and it gives me a deep longing for you. It reminds me of you. It takes me to you, and my longing for a relationship with you is because I want to be identified with you. That word that is there translated, your name, when it refers to God, it refers to God's self-disclosure or his self-revelation. The name of God is the expression of who God is and what he is like. But when it is used of human beings, it refers to an external mark or a branding that distinguishes one person or thing from another person or another thing. In other words, that is here the identification of a human individual. And this is a reference to his character. But it is a reference to more than his character. It is a reference to his fame and to his renown. And so she says, your name is fragrant. Your character is famous. I long for you because I long to be associated with you and I long to be identified with you. I want to be with you because your name is fragrant, and when I am associated with you, the fragrance of your name becomes the fragrance of mine also. The longing for relationships rooted in the longing for association and for identity. And so she says in verse 4, she calls for her beloved and she says, take me or lead me away. Take me into your courts. Take me into your presence so that I will spend my time, my life, and my entire life with you. And she says in the second part of verse 4, the king has brought me into his chambers, into the royal chambers, into the privacy, the security, the wellness, and the prosperity of the king's chambers. This is not just love. This is commitment to love. And this is the expression of true love. There is the longing for relationship. There is the longing for identity, and the longings for relationship and identity are rooted ultimately in the longing for home, for the security, for the peace, for the joy, and the felicity of home. And so she says to him, I want you, and I want to be home with you. Take me away. And then she is thrilled when she says, the king has brought me into his chambers. To which the ladies and the young ladies of Jerusalem respond in the first part of verse 4, we will run after you. And then in the second part of verse 4, the daughters of Jerusalem say, we will be glad and rejoice in you. We will remember your love more than wine. To which the lady replies at the end of verse 4, rightly do they love you. The longing that is in the heart of this lady for relationship, for identity and for home is not unique to her. It is the longing of the hearts of every woman of Jerusalem that day. And so they say to her, we will run after you. We will be glad and we will rejoice in you. We will rejoice that something wonderful has happened to you. We will glory in the knowledge that your fulfillment has come to you. We will remember you, your love, more than wine. The word that is there translated, remember, they are speaking not to the woman now, but to the woman's beloved when they say, we will remember your love more than wine. To remember is to declare, it is to proclaim, it is to make public, and it involves the invocation of the name of Jehovah. This is not a private love. This is public. This is proclaimed. And this is declared. From verse 5 onwards, the woman begins to describe herself. And then in verses 8 to 10, the beloved begins to respond to the woman's description of herself. But what can we say from these first 4 verses? This yearning or hunger for relationships, for identity and for home. Does it not tell us something about our own hearts too? That we as human beings, we are longing for relationships. That we find it impossible to be alone. We find it impossible to live without love and without other human beings. And no matter how much we may detest other people, we find that life's pleasures are never to be found in things. They are always to be found in people. But this deep longing within us for relationships is only the symptom of a deeper longing. Because the longing for relationship is itself an indication that you and I are longing for identity. You and I want to be associated with that which is eternal, that which is fragrant, that which is lovely and noble and holy and good. And our longing for relationships is ultimately a longing for identity. We are a fallen people in a fallen world. We don't know who we are. We don't know why we are here. And we don't know where we are going. Unless God reveals His will to us in Holy Scripture, by the working of His Holy Spirit, we have no identity. We are on no man's land. Sometimes we feel like the bees, and yet we find that we are better and more noble than the beasts. This yearning for relationship, rooted in the yearning for identity. But you know, that doesn't go deep enough either. Because the yearning for identity itself is rooted in the yearning for home. We want a place that we can call home, where we can feel safe, where we can feel secure, where we will know there will be peace unbroken, joy unalloyed, where you and I can be forever and ever, where there will be no attack from evil, where there will be no hell. But you know why we have these longings as human beings? We have it because Genesis chapters 1 to 3 tells us that you and I were made in the image of the living God. And you and I were made by God. And you and I were made for God. And you and I in Adam and Eve were placed in the garden of God. And the paradise of God was meant to be our home, without sin, without hostility, without evil, without enmity. Peace and joy were to be our portion for time and for eternity. But when Adam and Eve fell from their state of innocence, when they were plunged into sin, you and I in them were evicted from our homes. We became homeless. You and I were driven out of our homes by a holy and a just God. And since then we have had no home. We live in this world, but we do not feel at home, because you and I were made for God, and yet you and I are alienated from Him. With the loss of our home, there was the loss of our identity also. Estranged from our Heavenly Father, the way back to holiness and to eternal life, now guarded by the angel of death, with the cherubim there, with his flaming sword of fire, ready to devour and to destroy us. We have lost our home. We have lost our identity. And that's because we have lost our relationship with God. And once that relationship with our Father in heaven was broken, all our human relationships were poisoned by sin. We can no longer love each other with a pure love. We can no longer lay down our lives for each other, because sin has come between us. Between us and God, but between us as human beings also. And it is because we are human, and because we are fallen human beings, it is for this reason that deep within every human heart, there is the longing for relationships, there is the longing for identity, and ultimately, the longing for home. I do not wish to be disrespectful, but it is the truth. You know, you will never ever find complete satisfaction, perfect contentment for these longings in any human relationship. Marriage is beautiful, but sometimes it is soured by broken relationships. And eventually, its beauty and its bond will be broken by death. And the more you love, the more painful the separation will be. And you and I will never find our real identity in our marriage, in our friendships, because no other human being can give us that fragrance that is eternal and lasting. You and I can get married and build our homes, build our houses, but it will never be our home because it will never be permanent. It will never be without sorrow and sadness. But how then do we satisfy these yearnings? Are we bound to despair? Are we bound for hopelessness? Not at all. There is a way, and the answer is given to us in verse 3. Because of the fragrance of your good ointments, your name is ointment poured forth. The word that is there translated name is just as well translated reputation, renown, or fame. In other words, the woman is saying of the man, you have reputation, you have renown, you are famous, you are glorious, you are highly esteemed by all. But did you know that there is only one person with renown in all of human history? There is only one person who has had a name of renown, and his name was Jesus Christ. And what does the Bible say of him? In Philippians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul says that this Jesus who had the name of renown, this Jesus who was crowned with the purest gold upon his head, this Jesus made himself of no reputation. He lost his renown that day. Why? For this reason, so that you and I who have lost our relationships, our identities and our homes may find our fame, our fragrance, our relationships, our identities and our home in Jesus Christ. It is only when you and I find our joy, our satisfaction and our delight in Jesus Christ that you and I will begin to find and to discover the delights of our relationships, the beauty of our identity, and the eternity of our home with God. May God bless His word to our hearts. We conclude by singing from Psalm 36. Psalm 36, and we are singing here verses 5 to 9. Psalm 36 at verse 5. Thy mercy, Lord, is in the heavens. Thy truth doth reach the clouds. Thy justice is like mountains great. Thy judgments deep as floods. Lord, thou preservest man and beast. How precious is thy grace. Therefore in shadow of thy wings, men's sons their trust shall place. They with the fatness of thy house shall be well satisfied. From rivers of thy pleasures thou wilt drink to them provide. Because of life the fountain pure remains alone with thee, and in that purest light of thine we clearly light shall see. Psalm 36 verses 5 to 9. And we stand to sing to God's praise.
Thy mercy, Lord, is in our hands. Thy truth shall reach the ground.
Our Father in heaven, we pray for those in our congregation who are unmarried and looking for love and for relationships. We thank thee for them, and we pray that thou wouldst lead them to the pure fountain of waters, that they would find love within the bounds of thy revealed will in Holy Scripture, that thou wouldst graciously lead them to covenant spouses, and by thy grace thou wouldst enable them to build covenant homes and covenant families. And for those to whom thou hast given relationships of marriage, of friendship, of family and of children, help us to enjoy these relationships, to delight in them, never to despise the good things that thou hast graciously given to us. But above all, we pray that we, each one of us, would know and enter into a living and a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. And we confess this evening that thou wouldst forgive us, for so often we have lacked the ardor of the love that was in the Shulamite woman, to be in the presence of her beloved, to escape into the chambers of the great King. We who call ourselves after the name of Jesus Christ, we confess that so often we do not have this love, this longing, this hunger and this yearning to be within the courts of Jerusalem, to find ourselves in the house of God, to call upon His name in worship on His day in His house. Forgive us our lack of love and give to us a new heart. Renew within us a right spirit. For we ask it in Jesus' name. And now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do His will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Amen.